whole game last night. Heated at one point, Ryan. That's kind of been the focal point from our listeners talking about the altercation between Jason McManaman and Cameron Oliver from Nevada. What did you see down from your vantage point, which was much closer than any of ours?
Yeah, let's put this in the proper context. Mr. Holgren, would you please tell the court what you saw?
Well, you know, I was next to the Wyoming bench, so I was kind of on the opposite end of the floor. But from my vantage point, at first, I think it looked like he was up near Jason McManaman's face, and I thought it was, I didn't think it was a punch, but it seemed like it maybe was enough to warrant an ejection immediately. And then upon seeing the video after the game, and I think I saw someone had tweeted it to me during the game, then I noticed that it was more or less just a shove. I mean, a hard one at that, but it was in the chest, and so I think certainly warranted a technical, but I think they probably did the right thing. You know, with the, you know, with just the single technical, and then of course he got ejected later. But and then the other thing that kind of caught me off guard that I guess I didn't notice in live action was it did look like Jace McManaman kind of took a swipe. I don't know, it might have been inadvertent, it might have been going for the ball, but it did look like he maybe caught a little bit of contact, almost looked like a slight slap sort of deal, whether it's for the ball or whatever he was going after, that maybe set off Cameron Oliver. I know it was a tense moment in the game anyways, and things weren't going well for Nevada, so it could have just been some frustration there on Oliver's part. But that was another part of it that I didn't really notice at first. And then upon video, it did look like there was a little bit of contact beforehand coming from J-Mac, and then certainly that Oliver instigated or retaliated there. But that was what I saw.
Ryan, it seemed like after that incident, it didn't seem like it. The complexion of the game definitely did change, and Wyoming got out of sorts. It seemed like they played with a little more frustration and just got out of playing their game, and Nevada really dictated how the game was going to be played. Is that what you saw from the rest of the game?
Yeah, it seemed like the pace was maybe a little bit quicker after that, even, and then it just seemed like Wyoming's offense was just so stagnant. I can't, you know, I'd love to go back. I should go back and look at the full film and see how many times that they got to the end of a possession and it was just Jeremy Lieberman at the top of the key trying to create, and he's not, you know, a Josh Adams type where he can get to the hole. And so it was like, it just seemed like they got stuck like that so many times and weren't able to get buckets during their run when they went ahead 49-39. They were able to get some penetration here and there and get some open looks, and that was where people were starting to knock down shots to build that 10-point lead. So that was the biggest thing, was I think the offense was stagnant, and then, you know, when you're allowing Nevada to maybe get a little bit, not necessarily into transition, but maybe into almost like a secondary transition where you get, or just Wyoming isn't totally set on defense, they were able to get some easy buckets here and there, and of course it's a good, you know, Nevada's a good team driving to the hoop anyway, so you don't want to give them any extra advantage. But yeah, it just totally changed the complexion of the game. And I thought, you know, Chiat always says we're not a team that's going to blow someone out, and they're up 10, like five or whatever minutes into the second half, and they're shooting well. And I thought, well, maybe this is going to be the game where they finally do blow someone out, because they had everything going for it. But that obviously that did not happen whatsoever.
You know, the other thing, I we're up in the stratosphere where you have to have oxygen, you know, but we're so up there so far away that the other thing got me, but I will say this, you're able to see the entire court from up there and see what's going on. It wasn't just Lieberman. I mean, Lieberman tried a couple of drives to the basket and he got stuffed, you know, because those guys are shot blockers and he doesn't need to be in there with a tall timber. But it was also, I thought there were some other guys that took just shots that are not their shot. They were off balance. They were just, you know, they got out of the offense, which was running the ball, you know, around the perimeter and looking for the cutters and everything. And they just totally, I thought, got out of their game. And they were putting up a lot of ill-advised shots there toward after that happened too.
Yeah, you know, and I don't mean to single out Jeremy Lieberman. That was just the scenario that really stuck out to me. Was I could just remember so many times at the end of the shot clock where it was just, you know, the ball is stuck in whoever's your point guard's hands, and usually, you know, you want to find a shot where you don't have to create in the last, you know, few seconds, because it's so tough to do. And so that was, it wasn't just him, but it was other guys where they didn't seem like their offense was just functioning well, and so then it ended up being, as Shyatt called it, as opposed to, wee ball, where it's more of a team deal, it was kind of more of an eye sort of thing, and it was just a little bit too much maybe one-on-one and trying to create for yourself as opposed to creating for teammates, and that was what stuck with me, though.
Ryan Holmgren joining us here in the Sports Zone. Another thing that I saw you tweet out during the game, Ryan, when Josh Adams took a break, and you know how a lot of the fans are wanting Morris Marshall to get into the game, Josh directly went to Morris and told him, you're going into the game, and he played for a minute or two, and the coaches said, no, we're not doing it, but they trust him enough, and they tried it out, and it didn't last very long. Could you explain more into how that happened? I know it didn't have any impact in the game, but I find it interesting that how that all went down.
Yeah, well, so normally Josh, when he needs a break, he just comes and he'll say, Trey, come get me if Trey's on the bench, or he'll say, if Jeremy's on the bench. But I think, I have to go back and look, but I think both those guys were on the court at that time. Mm-hmm. But Josh needed a break, and whatever the scenario was, and so he said, Mo, let's go. And you can kind of see, like, Jeremy Shyatt, and actually really all the coaching staff, their eyes kind of bug out, and they're like, whoa, no, we're not, he hasn't played during the conference season, and, at that point in the game, you probably want someone maybe with a little more experience, but Josh said, kind of reassured him, like, it'll be okay, but then he looked over to Mo, who was going to check in at scorer's table, and kind of, I couldn't hear exactly what he said, but it was along the lines of, don't mess up, because, like, I'm, putting a little bit of faith into you to at least go hold your own a little bit, and he only played 1 minute was what he logged on the official stat sheet. And the only thing that stuck out to me was, he didn't do anything on offense. He only touched the ball maybe once or twice. But he was out of place once on defense, which did turn into an and one for, I think, Al Herndon needed help. Or someone needed help, and Al Herndon ended up following a guy, and they had a three-point play. So that was, I think, right on that play. Then he was subbed out. So he only had 1 minute there. But you talk to Shyatt, he'll say, he's never had so many fans so concerned about the guy that's, at really is so far down the bench. He's not their, maybe their last guy. He's got other guys that are redshirting, but he's not really a key component. He's just too far behind on defense, and fans want him for whatever reason. And I think Robert Gagliardi said something to me yesterday after the game, but someone tweeted at him and said, he looks really good during warm-ups. And he was like, there's just almost irrational at that point that, as if warm-ups really makes a difference in the game. So I don't know how much more we'll see of Mo Marshall, but he's not going to get a red shirt, from my understanding. So that's the other rumor that I've heard a little bit of, and that's not going to happen, especially after last night where he's played now in the second half of the season.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. He looks really good in warm-ups, Ryan, so you got to give him a shot out there. I mean, if he looks that good in warm-ups,
I look good in warm-ups.
Terrible.
Yeah, no doubt. You know what the weird thing is with this team, Ryan? This is the loss. Again, this is not a good loss, I don't think, for the Cowboys. Being at home playing against a Nevada team, that's not bad, but let's just face it, they're not New Mexico at the pit or anything like that. Very similar to maybe losing at San Jose State, type of deal. This is the type of team that can turn around and beat Boise State at home. I mean, don't put it past them to do something like that, because that's kind of what it seems like we're heading to. I mean, it's really interesting and fascinating to see this team and the ebbs and flows that it has from game to game.
Yeah, and Shyatt hates the term roller coaster, because they do give effort each game. I will give them that, and they're close in every game. I mean, you look back, I don't know how many games in a row now where it seems like they've been at least close and down to the wire. So you got to credit them there, but it does seem to some degree like a roller coaster. You lose at San Jose State, where no one, has ever lost in Mountain West Conference play. They lost 26 in a row in conference. And then you go win at the Pit, and then you come back and lose a game you probably should have won. And now you get Boise. And it's hard to figure this team out. The one thing that, like I said, that Shyatt loves is the efforts there. He thinks they're improving, so he likes the progress, and they're bought in. They haven't had any of the off-the-court issues that you've had in some of these years past, so he likes the character of these guys, but it is a tough team to figure out, and a tough team to predict. Certainly, if I was a betting man, I don't know if I would ever put money on them, just because you don't know exactly, what you're going to get, and But yeah, like I said, you have to like their effort. At least that's the one thing, is they're a fiery group with some grit.
Good stuff, Ryan. We do appreciate the time. Ski straight this evening, all right?
Thank you, Mr. You know, you're excused. But don't talk to any of the other witnesses, okay?
Take it easy, man.
Good. Take care.
See you.
Thanks, Ryan.